Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we're here with Katie Stone, who is an educator and a PYP leader. We'll discuss their journey and experiences in education. Hi, Katie. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me today, Levy.
Absolutely. I am a big fan of yours. We've been Twitter friends for a very long time, I feel like. You're always a staple in our PYP chat. So when I started this podcast, I knew I was going to have you. So I'm very excited you're here today. So Katie, tell us, for those of us listening, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you work? And a little bit about who you are.
Well, my name is Katie Stone. I am originally from the U.S., born and raised in California, but I have spent 12 years now overseas. So
nice.
A little bit about me is also a little bit about my connection to education, I guess, mm-hmm. and how I became the educator that I am. So I always wanted to be a teacher as a kid growing up, but I also was a little hesitant to be a teacher. My mom mm-hmm. worked in schools. She was a speech therapist. And every time she had a teacher in her office and I was playing in the background, teachers always looked exhausted and frustrated. They were never happy at work. And so I thought, you know, I don't want to be that. I need to figure out something else. But I kept getting drawn to education. I kept thinking, I wonder if education could be better. If there's something more to it than what I experienced as a kid and what teachers around me as a kid, when I was growing up, were experiencing. So I took a leap and I moved overseas to South Korea for a year.
Hey!
And I worked in a language cram school. They call them Hagwons.
Yep.
In 2009. So this was back more in the wild days of international education. I think it's a lot more, it's a lot different now than it was when I first moved overseas. But I love the international experience, but I still didn't like my job. I felt like I was just being a robot and being told what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept kind of moving around. I went from Korea to Hong Kong to China. I started a teaching program for international teachers. And I kept having this question of like, what can we do that's different? And I finally came to an IB school and they handed me, you know, the learner profile and said, no matter what you do, just do these 10 things and you'll be good to go. And my eyes lit up. I thought, oh, you're not telling me exactly what math to do and what English to do. You're telling me how to develop character attributes in young people. Mm-hmm. And everything else kind of falls to the wayside. Start with the learner profile and you'll figure it out. And I thought, what an amazing idea. Let's start with building people before we start with that knowledge.
Yeah.
And that was something enlightening for me. I had never really seen that before. So starting with that kind of build, I've got my master's degree in an international teaching program that was tied to the IB. And I've kind of been in PYP schools ever since. So then I moved out of China. I moved to Indonesia, where I've been for the last 7 years. I became a PYP coordinator, and now I'm a principal as well. I have a combined role at our school. And I currently am still the PYP coordinator and primary principal at Bandung Independent School. So it's a really small community school. It's about 3 hours outside of Jakarta. And it's a wonderful little hidden gem, actually.
Aww. So
that was pretty. Yeah. I love
That's amazing. So. Well, Katie, I think we can all relate to me. I'm putting myself out there very quick because I absolutely agree. Coming from the States where it is so rigid, where I remember chapter one, week one, chapter two, week two, chapter three, week three, worksheets and worksheets of math, of times 100 facts in a minute. I remember going overseas and just being floored by like, wait, what? Where's the day-by-day plans that we were expected to have every single week? Oh, you want 6 week unit plans of overall character attributes and ATL skills that we teach through? And that was really hard. I don't know about you, but that was really hard for me to really wrap my head around. And now that I've done it a lot of different ways and different times, and I'm still learning and tweaking how to fine tune the different skills and different attributes and the different content of music, I am really in love with building good people at the core of heart of it all. And I think your absolutely story is going to resonate with a lot of people out there, because I do think what most teachers get into the business for is building good people.
Right. And I think that's around the world, we'll see teachers, new teachers that are burned out and leaving the profession, because it's become in so many places for so many different reasons. It's become about, it's not about that anymore. It's about paperwork. It's about grants. It's about all of these different things that are overloading teachers. And really the reason why everyone gets an education is for helping young people become mm-hmm. the best, right? That's what we're all here for. So.
Oh, yeah. I love what you just said. I love what yeah. you just said, because I always tell, we have parent teacher conferences coming up, and I always say, I am not here to teach your child to be Beethoven. I am yeah. here to allow your child to express themselves and help them grow a love of music, plain and simple. Exactly. And oh, that just, that filled my bucket up, Katie.
Oh, good.
So Katie, what are you really excited about right now? What's happening in your school or in your life or professional life or learning that you're really excited about that you want to share with people?
Something that I've been really interested in and getting really excited about is just the sense of agency from a teacher perspective. So I think mm-hmm. in the last few years, we've started using, you know, this idea of learner agency is the new buzzword, right? Something that everyone needs to start, feels like this almost like a vocabulary word to start using more. Mm-hmm. But I'm really looking into how to make this authentic for all stakeholders in the school. So not only is it important, of course, to give students, you know, choices and to let them kind of navigate their own learning, but I think we need to do the same with teachers, with administrators, with parents, with all stakeholders in our school. How, what choices are we giving them? What are we deciding for them that they could decide for themselves? I feel like that's something that's still kind of new for us as a school. We're still trying to figure out, what does that look like? What does it look like when someone's, two different people's choices, you know, clash? How do we honor the agency of different teachers and parents simultaneously when they might be wanting completely different things, opposing things? So that's kind of something that I'm still kind of grappling with, but I'm really excited about and trying to find different answers to.
Yeah. When I took Building for the Future, the IB course, it was one of the most exciting things I've ever been a part of, because the moment that Mark White, who was leading the thing, said, "In nowhere does this say student agency, the graph." He said, "This is agency for all learners, parents, teachers, students, staff, everyone." He's like, "There, nowhere does this say student." And he looked and he went around the room, and it was a very powerful moment. He went around the room and said, "You are a leader. Yeah, your name doesn't come with principal, but you are a leader in that classroom. And you have choices that are going to impact these young learners. What are they?" And I was floored. It was the moment that I realized that I am in charge of my learning as well, and I need to take care of that. And that's great. So as a PYP leader, how are you giving those choices and agencies to your staff?
Yeah, good question. It's in a few different things.
Yeah.
I think with our senior leadership team, so there's only three of us. So we're mm-hmm. very small. So we have a primary principal, a secondary principal, and a head of school. We revamped our professional learning growth and appraisal process. So instead of giving teachers goals or, you know, pick one of these four areas, it's starting with their own self-assessments and what they want to improve in themselves. What do you want to do to be a better teacher? Let's start there. And that will be your goal for the year. And let's look at ways that I can work with you to help you achieve your goal. Just like we would with the students in the classroom. What do you need? And we've noticed this year that a lot of the homeroom teachers are really interested in math inquiry. They all met separately with me, but they all kind of had the same goal, which surprised all of them that they were all kind of interested in this. How do we make standalone math, multiplication, learning, you know, division and fractions? How do we make that inquiry based? Mm-hmm. I took that information just like I would as a teacher in a classroom. And this is what is driving our staff meetings, are these different like math inquiry investigations. What different resources are out there? What kind of PD can we do as a whole team? What specific PD would help, you know, early years versus grade five? What do you need to make math more inquiry based? Maybe we should be learning, going into each other's classrooms, and let's make a schedule of peer observations. And those are the observations that I'm going to focus on, are your standalone math. And it's a lot more of continual conversations about professional growth, openness, vulnerability, risk-taking. We're all kind of working on it together. And not one person has all the answers, of course. There is no end-all, be-all answer to inquiry in any context.
So true.
But learning from each other and kind of and being in this together is just one way that we're trying to really honor the agency of our teachers.
And talk about building a learning culture. You know, just what we talked about PYP chat a few nights ago. What an amazing way for all your faculty members to lean on each other to grow in a specific area and then be able to look back and be like, wow, look how far we came. That is really cool. That's super cool. Yeah. What are some challenges you're finding? Because I know math is very content heavy. So is music. Yeah. How are you finding, what are some challenges you're finding with that? Because for me, it was tough to make music inquiry. And now I'm like, I don't know how I would do it otherwise. Right. But how, what are some challenges you're finding?
I think with music too, though music teachers aren't typically like this, but the idea of music, art, sports, math, there are a lot of people who just see themselves as math people and not math people, or music people, not music people.
100%.
Oh, I'm just not a math person. I'm not good at math. When no one can not be good at math. It's the language of the world. It's the one shared language that we all have. So let's just kind of look at different areas that we can improve on ourselves. So I think a big challenge that we're grappling with in this one example of math is our attitudes and feelings of ourselves with math, because that definitely permeates to the classroom. You know, if a teacher doesn't feel comfortable teaching math, they're going to lean on what they were taught when they were kids. And they're going to be really hesitant to kind of take risks with that because they're not comfortable enough. So that's kind of the big first leap, is getting everybody to be able to see themselves as math people. We're watching like a lot of different Jill Bowler. I don't know if you know who Jill Bowler is, but she's my hero. I love her.
Oh, she's a huge Limitless Minds. Is it her book? Such a good book. And also like a big fan of Dr. Werthal, Jennifer Werthal, huge fan of her work. And I think shifting how we were taught these specific, very content heavy disciplines and shifting how we approach it is really tough. Let's just be very honest. It is very tough, but I think the payout is massive because just in a music lens, I have students who truly believe they are not musical, that they cannot sing. And by the time they leave first grade, they're like, I'm a musician. Exactly. And I'm like, that's what I'm doing. That's what I want to be doing for. And I know the same thing happens in hundreds of classrooms around the world of, yes, I may not be able to do multiplication, three digits over and over and over, but I'm still a mathematician.
Right.
They're going to go in the world being so positive and so gung-ho about taking chances and taking risk and getting better. That's all we're trying to do, right? So what are some, we already talked a little bit about like some resources like Jill Bowler, Dr. Werthal. So what are some other resources for people who are just struggling for teacher agency, learning how to do inquiry that you've noticed in your career as a teacher, coordinator, and principal?
What a question.
I try. We only got 25 minutes, so I try to get them out.
I think in terms of resources of inquiry in general, and just where do I start? I want to try this. A little nervous. I don't know where to go. I think a big part of it is just this release of responsibility in your classroom. Today, maybe for 30 minutes in the morning, I'm going to ask the students what they want to do. It's still connected to our learning. Look, we have choice A, choice B. What do you want to do? And you just go with it. Start small, I think, is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Start with choices that you still feel comfortable with giving to your students or giving to your teachers and seeing where that takes you. And maybe it blows up in your face and that's okay, but try again the next day. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, try a little bit more. I remember one of my first big leaps into agency and like, I want to give students control of the classroom, but I don't really know where to start. I took them to the computer lab and showed them Teachers Pay Teachers. And I said, you guys have $5. We're learning about, and I gave them their central idea. I remember we're learning about this. What activities do you want to do? And I gave them 30 minutes.
And that's so funny.
I didn't know how else to start, but I just thought, you know what? Let's just see where you go. Make it a meaningful task. You guys choose it. And they were really thoughtful about it. And they, we can't do this one. This doesn't really teach us anything. It's just a coloring page, Miss Katie. And it was I really learned more from them in my trial and error than one set resource. I do think, you know, Bowler's U-cubed websites and, you know, Enrich and a lot of different inquiry based, you know, ideas, Kath Murdoch's books, Trevor McKenzie, you can go in a lot of different areas, but I think really starting off with just two choices and, or three choices and seeing where that takes you, I think is a huge jump for a lot of us.
I totally agree. Cause that is how, for someone that was struggling with inquiry on the start of my career, I remember one of my best friends, Miss Yasmin. She's a KG1 teacher. And I was like, Miss Yasmin, I just don't know how to do this. And she said the same thing. She said, give them three centers and just back off. Let them try. Let them explore. Let them fail. Let them reflect and try again. And I was like, oh, okay. So I did that. And then we did it again. She and I talked, did a little bit more, tried it with fourth grade, tried it with fifth grade, tried it with untried different ways of this. And then she's like, okay, now you're going to add a question. Now you're going to add a provocation and a little of this. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it was so helpful. And all it was is three things. Just give them three things and leave them alone.
Exactly. See what they do.
Yeah. And so many times we get, because we're teachers, we really want to, like, we have structure and we like our lives with our structures, is my opinion. And I feel we try to jump in and fix it so many times. How many times, like when a student is playing a xylophone, how many times do I have to back away before I go and fix their xylophone technique? So it's a lot of fun.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I think sitting on our hands, you know, physically and mentally, just don't reach and try to fix it. Sit, watch. And when it doesn't work, because it doesn't always work, I think talking about that and being honest with your students or your teachers or whatever context it is. Look, that didn't really go well. I thought it was going to do this. That didn't happen. Let's try something else. And moving on and recognizing that sometimes things don't work and that's perfectly fine.
And again, going back to culture of learning, what an amazing way for students to see that teachers are also being reflective and also make mistakes. And also it's a learning and we're trying. And we, like you said, we don't have all the answers. Nobody does. And we're just trying. What a powerful statement. So, Katie, what has changed your mind about education so far? What is there been something because of COVID or because of PYP or because of your different roles that's really just changed your mind?
Yeah, good question. So I think this is going to sound kind of corny, but I think really what changed my mind was watching the students actually inquire and investigate into things and get excited about them. And I thought, okay, it's not just governmental structures that we have in place across, you know, different cultures and societies. It's not all of that. Sometimes we need to let go and have fun with the kids. Once I was with students and I started working in inquiry and we started having these incredible learning experiences, I realized, okay, we can actually accomplish a lot together. This isn't just about what's written on a scope and sequence. This is so much more to it than that. And I think really what changed my mind was just kind of being with the kids and being honest with the kids and having these really meaningful learning experiences together. Really, really just, okay, this is actually what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to be.
No, absolutely.
And I didn't get to see a lot of that, I think, as a kid, because I was sitting in my mom's office. So I just saw her and teachers venting together. And then of course the way we, you know, and that just wasn't my experience at first, but I think really getting to sit with the kids and getting to be not just the person in the front of the class with all the answers and the red pen, but just like a co-creator with them. I think that kind of changed my mind. When I realized I could do that, when the kids can do just as much as I could, I was hooked. Yeah. Still hooked.
Absolutely. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given, and I'll get your take on it, was if you were working harder than the students, who is doing the learning?
Right.
And 100%. I was like, that it really hit me. I was like, oh my goodness, am I doing all the learning here? Should they be doing more? And so, again, reflection and trying something new. And that's what happened. It was really amazing. So, Katie, where do you go for inspiration during the day? Or if you're having a bad day or a lesson's not going really well, what do you do for inspiration to get right back out there?
A couple of things. I go have a snack with the kids and just sit down, drink a snack and coffee or something and just chat with them. Not in the classroom, not just right now because of COVID. We have to eat outside, which is relatively easy when you live on the equator because, you know, weather's not really an issue. But we all have to sit. We basically have a picnic every day now, which is kind of cool. So just kind of sitting out on the soccer field and having a granola bar with the kids and reminding myself of why I'm here. I think sometimes those relationships are really the core of it all. So let's just kind of go sit. I know a couple of particular students that will always make me smile, right? Do that. Sometimes we just need to unplug for a little bit, especially in COVID and distance learning and everything that's going on with that. And the constant challenges surrounding that, you know, just because we're open today doesn't mean we're going to be open tomorrow. So that constant pressure and stress, I think sometimes we just need to close our laptops and go be with our family, go walk the dog, go play with my baby, you know, check out for a little bit and take care of myself. I think there really is a lot to the concept of not being able to pour from an empty cup. So I think that's another really important thing. Reminding yourself why you're with your job and taking care of yourself personally, physically, mentally. We would ask the same thing of our kids. So let's do that for ourselves.
One of the best things, I absolutely agree with you. One of the best things I've ever done was get a dog. And the way that I recharge is I walk my dog every day without my phone. And huge. I didn't realize how massive that would be. I really didn't. When you could just really be with your thoughts and really just let it all go, because it's a mile hike or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you've got 30 minutes, 45 minutes without a phone. It was huge. It was, I highly recommend it. I really do. If you're able to and willing, definitely get a dog. I absolutely love it.
Yep. And if you're still working from home teachers, we never really unplug mentally anyway. True. Give yourself a time limit. 5 o'clock, I'm done. I'm not going back on until 7 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah.
Because there is always so much more we could do. There's one other thing we could plan. And there's so much. And it can feel overwhelming. So I think unplugging, taking that walk without a phone. Oh my gosh, it's a game changer. We started doing that. Once my husband and I are both done, we strap the baby in a stroller, we get our dog, and the four of us just go walk here in the neighborhood for 20 minutes. And no one can contact us. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. And when you're asking your teachers to have that agency and that choice, what better way to also say, you also have the choice to unplug and really take care of yourself. And that's really critical for you to be 100% all the other time.
Right. So. If for no other reason, which there are plenty of reasons, for no other reason, do it for your students. Like, your students will not be as successful if you are running on fumes.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So please take care of yourselves. And you shouldn't just be taking care of yourselves for your job either. I mean, this is more than a job. It is more of a calling kind of profession, but at the end of the day, your health is number one. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we're not going to take care of us, who is, right? Like, we've got to focus on priorities, and you can't pour from an empty cup, like you said.
You can.
So for those first time listeners out there and first time inquirers, and first time teachers, what is one key piece of advice you want to give them?
Keep trying new things. Ooh. I think if you get to a point to where you're not trying anything new, you're just, this is what I did last year. This is what worked in my last unit. It's not going to be a fun job anymore. It's going to just be through the process. So, and if it's not a fun, passionate job, then you're doing your students a disservice too, if you're not as excited as you want them to be. So I think keep trying something new. Every unit, every year, try one thing new at least. I guess that's more for experienced people than new people, but even new people, keep trying something new. Don't just follow the last teacher's units, those teacher books that you start with when you don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Just try, go with your gut, see what happens. And and forgive yourself when it doesn't go well. Don't eat yourself up about it because it's good. It means you're learning.
Absolutely. Katie, where can people find you to connect with you if they want to continue learning, continue growing with you?
Well, I keep saying I'm going to start a blog and I haven't. So I don't have a blog to follow yet. But I am pretty active on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So this Katie Tweets is my Twitter handle. I'm on there pretty constantly, a little addicted.
Ditto.
I'm on the PYP chats. Yeah. That's how we know each other.
Yeah.
Those PYP chats are always great ways to connect, not only with me, but with a lot of different educators from around the world.
Thank you. We try very hard to make that an effective use of time because we know people are very busy and we do want to give people a way to connect. And it is one of my more proud moments of being able to moderate those chats because it is a really great way to connect with people. And I do appreciate you because you always are there. You always come. You're always excited and share great ideas. So thank you so much for that, Katie. Katie, last question. And we ask all our guests here at the Recess Duty this question. What do you remember from recess growing up?
I remember at recess, leaving a classroom. I was a very anxious kid. So mm-hmm. I remember leaving the classroom and finally being able to let it go. And being, mm-hmm. just being able to have fun and enjoy myself and smell the grass and play in the sand and have meaningful relationships, which is not something I would say when I'm 9, but having meaningful relationships outside of the classroom and just having fun at school. Having fun at school, I think, is why we all want to be educators. And for me as a kid, that was only at recess. So I'm very thankful that I had those opportunities to play and just enjoy each other. Aww. See my friend. Yeah.
That's amazing.
School should be recess all day.
And that's why I really wanted to create Recess Duty Podcast, because it is supposed to be just a fun place for people to gather and hang out and just